I have a short lesson, and the title of the lesson is, what are you clinging on to? All right. Now, of course, Joe, when I told him that, he thought, Klingons. Klingons.
I did.
See, that's why we pray for Joe. Okay. You know, this progressive evangelism thing that we did yesterday was amazing. You know, there are so many hurting people out there, and it is amazing how people will just gush their pain. And, you know, there have been people out there who just, you know, one woman was telling me, she's, man, I just went through a divorce, and she started bringing up all these things. I'm like, well, you know, does she do this with everyone? But that's what's going on out there. And what's encouraging is so many people are seeking. So, anyways, what are you clinging on to? Jonah chapter 1. Hopefully we're seeing the pain. Now, I heard that you guys did a Bible talk on Jonah not too long ago.
Yeah, bring it.
So this should be, you know, old news to you, but I'm going to take a little different twist to it. Jonah chapter 1. Now, we all know that he was swallowed by a great big fish, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a lot more meat behind it than that. Mm-hmm. Chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Everybody got a Bible? Everybody ready to go?
What page are we at? I'm new at this.
Jonah. I hope you guys didn't eat too much and you're falling asleep on me here. I heard it was a good meal. So Jonah chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Wait till everybody gets there. Okay. Verse 1, it says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found his ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. All right, now there's a good heart, huh? God says, listen, I want you to do this, and he tears off the other way. But you know, it's interesting in life, how many of us do that?
Yeah.
Now, we may not, you know, go to this extreme, but we run from things. Run from our problems, run from our fears. Okay, and there's a lot of ways we do it. We escape. Okay? It may be, listen, I'm going to go watch movies. I may take a vacation, go up north. I may, Tom. I might, you know, just sleep a lot. Okay? People want to avoid conflict, so they're always running, okay? Now, when I was in my family, I've had a series of relatives who did this. My great-great-grandfather abandoned the family. He was an alcoholic and just took off. And my great-great-grandmother was killed by a team of horses. She got run over. So my grandfather and his four brothers were all orphans. And by the time they were 13 or 14, they all ran away from the orphanage. So there's a lot of running, okay? Well, then later on, my grandfather also used to take off. And he would leave my grandmother for like good 4 or 5 years at a crack. And then all of a sudden just show up like nothing happened. Now, what do you think that does for a family? Okay? A lot of running. People are running. People are trying to escape because there's a lot of fears. In Psalm 139, and we're going to be coming back to Jonah, I want to read you something here that tells us a little bit about God. And this is an amazing psalm. If you have never read this, I'm sure it will open your eyes to many things here. In Psalm 139, David writes this psalm. It says, O Lord, you have searched me. And you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn If I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. You know, you look at that passage, and really David's got it on. He's, listen, I can't, how am I going to escape God? He's everywhere. And a lot of times we don't realize how actively involved God is in our lives. A little later in the psalm, it says, you formed me in my mother's womb. You knit me together. And that's how intimately involved God is. Where are you going to run from God? And see, Jonah's trying to run from God. And sometimes we want to run from God because we don't want to deal with things in our life.
That's right.
And he says, listen, you can go to the bottom of the ocean. I'm still there. Go to heaven. I'm there. You know, you can't hide. You can run, but you can't hide. That's probably a Klingon phrase right there. Well, Jonah, let's go back there, has been swallowed by a great fish, all right? His guys, he's in the boat, and the ocean starts going crazy. They're scared. Jonah's sleeping, okay? They wake him up. What are you, crazy? And they say, what do we do? And he says, throw me overboard. And this tells you a little bit about Jonah. He knows God. He says, listen, it's my fault. Throw me overboard, you'll be okay. And wouldn't that be a little bizarre? You're standing there on board the ship. Should we throw him overboard? Let's try it. So they throw him overboard, and it says the sea became calm. Now that would be really freaky. And God has them swallowed by a great fish. Look in chapter 2, verse 10. It says, and the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Now, wouldn't that be a bizarre sight? Pete, let's go fishing today. We're on the seashore. Hey, look at that. All of a sudden, this guy comes puked out. That has got to be the most bizarre thing, right? So, you know, we can run from God. Let's hope God doesn't have to do something like that to humble us out, okay? Chapter 3, verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word. Got a little smarter here this time. Okay, I'm going to do this. Now Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. On the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast. And all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, tore off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, sat down in dust. And then he issued a proclamation in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let any man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. What an amazing thing. Later on it says 120,000 people repented. 120,000. That's quite a sermon. Now imagine if we did that. Yesterday we went reaching out. Imagine 120,000. Boom. That would be amazing. Now, Job, all right, preaches, king, order the fast. Hey, let's even make our animals fast. You know, they're not even going to eat. But look at Jonah's response, chapter 4, verse 1. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. He prayed to the Lord, O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, O Lord, take away my life. For it is better for me to die than to live. But the Lord replied, have you any right to be angry? Jonah went out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in the shade, waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a vine and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the vine. Amen. But at dawn, the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the vine so that it withered. See, God can even use a worm. He can do that. He can use us, right? When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, it would be better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, do you have a right to become angry about the vine? I do, he said. I'm very angry. I'm angry enough to die. Boy, this Jonah's got a problem, right? But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this vine, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about that great city? And it ends right there. We don't know how Jonah responded. You don't know what the circumstances were, what ended up happening here. But you got an amazing story here. Here Jonah does an amazing job. Converts 120,000 people in 40 days.
Yeah.
And he's angry. Jonah's got a problem. Why was he angry? We're not 100% sure, but it says in chapter 4, O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, abounding in love, and a God who relents from sending calamity. You know, bottom line, Jonah wanted these people destroyed. He was angry, angry enough to die. And I don't know what they did to him or his family, but he wanted them dead. He says, God, isn't this why I ran? He did not want to do a great thing for God. He wanted them to suffer. He was playing God. And you know, sometimes we do that in our life. We decide, you know, what's right and what's wrong. Somebody does something nasty to you, man alive. We brought in the jury, the judge, everything. The sentence, I am right, you are wrong. That's the way it is. Have you ever been there?
Yep.
Have you ever done that?
Yeah.
My way or the highway.
Yep. And it's amazing because you look at this and he says this whole vine thing. It's like, and what is God trying to do? He's trying to get Jonah to see the big picture. Man, you're not in control, pal. Mm-hmm. You can't control the vine. You couldn't control it. And what do we control? We can't control the sun. We can't control the weather. We can't control our heartbeat. And yet we get so frustrated when things don't go our way.
Yeah.
We get angry. And the bottom line is, we will never be happy until we surrender to God. If we're always trying to be in control and trying to play God, we will never be happy. Now, we're talking a lot about running and anger and all that. Well, where's the clinging come on? Well, let's look at it. Chapter 2, verse 8. Now, this is a prayer that Jonah is doing inside the belly of a fish. Okay, now he's probably pretty ripe after 3 days.
Yeah.
He's probably a little whiter than before. Stomach acids, you know, that kind of thing. In verse 8, he says this, those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. People cling on to things, and they won't let go. Maybe you've done that. I've done that. What was Jonah clinging on to? He was clinging on to his hatred and his anger. He did not want to let it go. We've seen this in our lives and the lives of people that we know around us. You know, Barbara has a famous saying she always says to me. She always says, Jay, let it go. She does that to me all of the time. Now, I must have a problem, right? I'll tell you a few stories. I'm glad you asked. A number of years ago, we were moving from Milwaukee to Chicago, and we rented a U-Haul, okay? And I put the money down a few months earlier, and, you know, the week of before we were supposed to go. I put that deposit down to make sure, right? I called him up on Wednesday. We're going to leave on Friday. I said, hey, I just saw him. Make sure we got that truck. He said, you know what? We don't, and we won't. But we do have a smaller 10-foot one that you can use, and blah, blah, blah. Excuse me. I put this money down, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, well, read your contract. No guarantee. All of a sudden, that alien started coming out. You know? Have you been there? And that was a horrible move, man. It poured out. We took three trips. They gave us a small one with a trailer. Trailer let loose on the expressway. Bad stuff. All right? Now, every time the word U-Haul comes up, and Barb says, Jay,
let it go.
Let it go. One time I was driving, and down the expressway, and it was snowing, and there was black ice, and a semi was alongside of me, and it jackknifed. And I knew I was going to get hit, and I did. The trailer came back, hit the front end of my car, spun it around. When I hit the curb, I rolled. And I broke, I have a crack in my vertebrae. Called my insurance company, and they said, did you lose an eye or a limb? I said, no. Then they said, it's not worth it to us. And all of a sudden, the alien came out. I was ticked. Mm-hmm. And see, the thing is, I have to let it go. You know?
Yeah.
Because it'll eat you up.
Yeah.
Barb says, Jay, let it go. You know, and the problem is, we want to be in control, and we can't. There's no way I could control that semi. There's no way I could control the weather. Nothing. And the tendency is to say, it's not fair. You been there?
No.
You know, where in the Bible does it say things are going to be fair? It's not in there. Okay? I think maybe in the book of Tom, chapter 1, verse 7, right? We'd like to write our own Bible, wouldn't we? And that's what Jonah wanted to do. He wanted to play God. You know, we can make a fool of ourselves by not letting things go. Have you ever been to family reunions, weddings, funerals, and there's that one person that did something, okay, and you can cut it with a chainsaw, you know, because we cling on to anger and we won't forgive all that. I remember my first high school reunion. You know, it became historical because everybody brought up things of the past. And I thought, man, I need this like I need another hole in the head, you know? Come there and everybody's, oh, yeah, well, I remember when you, boom, boom, boom. And it was sad. But I thought, you know, people just can't let things go. We cling on to things. We just do. I remember a number of years ago, I'm a backpacker, or I used to be in my younger years. And one time I was backpacking the Gila Mountains of New Mexico, and that's where you sleep in the snow and all that kind of stuff, right? And a blizzard was coming in, all right? And we were about 12,000 feet up. And we needed to get into low altitude, fast, all right? And we opened up the map, and we looked, we saw the trails and all that, and we found a place called Hell's Hole. You know it's bad when it's called Hell's Hole, man. And I thought, we better get down there because we would rather have rain than a couple of feet of snow, all right, to deal with. So we started going down. And it was starting to snow and things were starting getting slippery. And I slid off the edge. And just as I was falling, my backpack caught onto something.
Oh my goodness.
And I was hanging in the air. Just boom, 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 you know, all that kind of stuff. And I remember grabbing back and clinging on.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And see, the thing is, I understand clinging on, all right, after that. But really, the Bible talks about how we cling on to things more than we do God. Mm-hmm. And we begin to elevate those things above God. And we won't let them go. And they become our God. Mm-hmm. We cling on to hatred. We cling on to fear. All right? Afraid to lose this boyfriend, afraid to lose our job, and we do things that we know we shouldn't do because we hang on to those things. We'll cling on to our reputation.
Yeah.
And we can become afraid to share our faith for fear of how we look. Mm-hmm. And God says, you're embarrassed of me. Mm-hmm. What did they ever do for you? Look what I did for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a passage, you don't have to turn there. In Psalm 31, David says, I hate those who cling to worthless idols. And really, that's what God says. They're worthless. And why would David have that anger? Because it does damage. It does damage to us, to other people, and to God. It hurts God. Look in Matthew chapter 6. Are you guys with me?
Yeah, we're with you, Jay.
I don't hear anybody snoring yet, so we're in good shape here.
So how did you get out from?
Oh, the other guys were with me, helping pull me back and stuff like that. Yeah. Yeah, I got a lot of stories like that.
Matthew what?
Chapter 6.
28:6?
Matthew 6.
Oh,
verse 19. If there's something you can't give up, you're in danger. If there's something that you love more than God, you're in danger because Satan will use it against you. If you have a string attached to your heart, Satan will pull on it every time he wants you to do poorly. And you got to cut the string. Matthew 6, verse 19, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Question is, what do you treasure? Verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And see, you could try to play the game, but you won't win. What are you clinging on to? In this time of economic chaos, you can tell what people have clung on to. They're losing their joy.
Yeah.
They're losing their money, so they're losing their God. Mm-hmm. And things are going down fast. Mm-hmm. It comes down to, have you lost your joy? Or are you still secure in God?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Let's close in Luke chapter 9. Actually, we got one more before that. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. This is the one that always gets me. 9, verse 23. Luke chapter 9, 23, Jesus speaking. Hey, if it's in red, that means Jesus speaking. Just thought I'd share that with you. Then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Whoever wants to save his life would lose it. But whoever loses life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and lose or forfeit his very self? You know, Jesus is saying, listen, if you're going to put me first, you must deny yourself. You can't be selfish and have a relationship with God. It's unacceptable. Because you are not going to be God. I am going to be God.
Amen.
He says you need to take up your cross daily. You got to deal with sin or else it's going to destroy this relationship. Do you love that sin more than you do me? If it is, you're clinging on to it. You need to get rid of it.
Yeah.
You need to follow me. What are we following? Are we doing the walk? If we're unwilling to do the walk, then we've got another idol. Finally, he says, whoever wants to save his life will lose it. We cling on to things, okay? Alright, we forfeit the grace that could be ours. The joy, the freedom from sin, the freedom from guilt. All these things that God says, I want to provide for you. You're going to throw them right out the window. And on top of that, salvation. That's not even smart.
Yeah.
So you ask, what do we cling on to? I'm glad you asked. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. So, Joe, is there a book of Klingon? Just wondering. Chapter 12, verse 9. This is a great passage. He says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. He asked me, what do you need to cling to? This is it. To what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. These are the things that you've got to cling on to. If you walk like this, your life will impact a lot of people. And God is saying, cling on, let go of those other things and cling on to these things. Why? Because they're good. And God is good. And God has proved it. Now, the challenge for us is, all right, great message. Hey, I appreciate it. Good point. But is this what we're going to do? So I'm going to give you homework. Huh? Sermon with homework. I like it. The homework is for you to write down what you're clinging on to. All right, what you think you are. Then, I want you to go to someone who's going to tell you the truth and ask them, what do you see in my life that I'm hanging on to? And then get help. All right, we need each other. This isn't something we can swing at. This is what the body's all about. So we can help each other to let go and grab on to what is good and grab on to God. Now, this is a very hard thing. This is a character issue. This is a heart issue. If you don't do this, we will forfeit the grace that could be ours.
That's right.
And others will suffer for it. So have a determination to go after this thing. Don't just let this thing go. Take it to heart. Make this part of your week. Study it out. Go into it and make it you. Amen?
Amen.
We close in a prayer, and then you're free to go. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the scriptures. God, we know how easy it is to cling on to the wrong things. We look at Jonah and his heart and how he was angry and how we can be angry and how we can allow other things to become our gods. And God, I pray that what we do encourages you, that we don't allow these things to destroy us. Thank you for your example and how you surrendered your son. And it's in his name we pray.
Right.
Amen.